Welcome to the EQ Fit Podcast. Our mission is to equip people to prosper in every aspect of their life. Whether you're at home or in the workplace, we explore practical ways of improving success, satisfaction, finding balance, and building enjoyable and beneficial relationships. Thank you for joining us. If you've been listening to my podcast for any amount of time, I want to say thank you. For those of you who have and who have stuck with me, a very special thank you as we near the end of the year. I wish you a happy new year and a very prosperous new year. And that's the topic for today. How do we start the new year? I've noticed something in all of my years of working with organizations, whether they were large organizations or even solopreneurs, in the entire spectrum, there's one thing that seems to be common. We focus on strategies and plans and systems and processes, and all of those things are wonderful. They're good. We need those things. But we don't invest enough in people development. And I may be talking to you as a solopreneur or a small business owner. I may be talking to you and one other person, or maybe it's an entire team or department or even organization. I have seen so much go to waste when people put hours and hours into planning, into strategies, into implementing new systems, into all of those things that our modern world demands, but they don't live up to their billing because the people are not equipped and ready and motivated to take those things and really make them effective in the new year. So let's focus on the human side of business. As the year comes to a close, most people naturally pause to reflect. We review the numbers, our performance dashboards, wins, misses. Reflection matters, but reflection with purpose is what creates momentum. If you want to start the new year, the most important place to focus is not strategy, systems, or technology. It's people. Those other things are important. Don't leave those out. But if you don't prepare your people, and that includes yourself, for what's coming, then all of this other stuff is just going to end up being an added burden, and it's going to take up more time, and it is not going to be nearly as effective as it could be. Your people are the engine of execution, culture, and growth. You're not going to get those things without people. The quality of your team relationships, your capabilities, your alignment will either accelerate results or quietly undermine them. I'm going to share with you a few questions, what I call purpose-driven reflection questions, to help you evaluate the human side of your business. Each question is followed by why it matters, the cost of ignoring it, and practical ways to move forward much stronger in the new year. So let's start with question number one. Who brought real value this year, and how did they do it? Why does this question matter? High-performing organizations don't just reward outcomes. They recognize how value is created. I cannot stress how important that is. If you can recognize how value is created in your business, no matter what the size of your business, you can replicate it. Every position in every organization should be bringing a level of value commensurate with that position or with that role. Understanding who truly contributed and in what way they contributed helps you reinforce the behaviors that drive sustainable success. What's the cost of ignoring this? When value creators feel unseen, their motivation erodes. Over time, people disengage, or worse, they leave. And then, of course, what happens? The average performance and the people that are doing the average amount of performance, that becomes normalized. How do we address that? Identify specific behaviors, initiative, ownership, collaboration, problem solving, that drove the results that you saw when somebody brought you real value this year. And then acknowledge contributions publicly and privately. Align rewards, responsibility, and growth opportunities with demonstrated value. It's so important. There is no accountability without consequences. Consequences can be positive just as much as they can be negative. So if we see somebody really performing, bringing high value, let's reward them appropriately, because that sets the tone for everybody else. What are the best practices going forward for this question? Define what value means beyond just a job description. And that is something I do in my work with organizations. We break down and create a success pathway for each role in the organization. What does that do? It makes it very clear to everybody what the value is that someone needs to bring in their role. We take away uncertainty and ambiguity. We open up people's full potential that way, as much as they're willing to perform and give. We can build regular recognition into our leadership rhythms. So don't just wait till the end of the year and, oh, we'll do our end of year evaluations. I really don't like that process as a primary way of evaluating. I would much rather it be a forward-looking coaching process where you're meeting with somebody once a week, talking over how the last week went, setting goals for the next week. That evaluation at the end of, say, 3 months, everybody knows exactly what's going on. There's none of this, why didn't you tell me that 11 months ago? So I think these are really important practices we can bring forward. Here's question number two. Where did you see gaps in competency, capacity, character, or chemistry? Why does this question matter? Performance problems are rarely random. They typically show up in one or more of these four areas. Competency is having the skills and knowledge. Capacity is time, energy, and bandwidth, and how somebody applies those. Character is integrity, accountability, and maturity. And chemistry is relationships, trust, and teamwork. What's the cost of ignoring this question, of seeing those gaps? Unaddressed gaps quietly become cultural liabilities. Leaders compensate, teams fragment, frustration grows. How do we address these negative impacts? Diagnose before prescribing solutions. Make sure you understand what's going on, or bring somebody like me in to help you figure that out. Separate skill gaps from mindset or character issues, and match people to roles that fit both strengths and capacity. So are they in the right seat on the bus? The best practices going forward? Use structured, validated assessments, not assumptions. Address character and chemistry decisively when alignment isn't possible. Not everybody is going to align with what you're trying to accomplish. Now, if you're a solopreneur, what does that look like? It looks like not every client is a good client for you. So think about the people side of your business and this competency, capacity, character, and chemistry equation that equals real value and turns into real return on investment. The third question I want to talk about is, where are the real bottlenecks in performance? That's the question we're going to get to next. This question matters because bottlenecks often masquerade as workload issues or external obstacles, but they're frequently human-related. Decision delays, unclear ownership, or conflict avoidance. The cost of ignoring this: bottlenecks create drag. Good people burn energy compensating for breakdowns instead of creating momentum. How do we address these negative impacts? Map where work slows down or stalls. Identify decision points and ownership gaps. And clarify authority, accountability, and handoffs. How can we create a set of best practices here? We can simplify decision-making structures. Sometimes that may mean giving autonomy to people to make decisions on their own up to a certain boundary. Other times, it may be we have created such a complex process of decision-making that simplifying, for lack of a better way to say that, is what is exactly needed. Reduce unnecessary approvals. I see this in a lot of organizations I work with, especially those small business owners who are still trying to hold on to a lot that they probably shouldn't and need to let go of to some of their team. It's hard because you built the business. I get that. But the reality is, until you start to delegate, you're never going to get to those bigger strategic things you want to do because you're going to be tied down in the weeds most of the day. And that's not where you need to be. And then empower capable leaders closer to the work. Let them make more decisions. Empower them to be more authoritative, to make the decisions, to move forward. And maybe they bring innovation with them. What a good idea that would be, right? So the next question, number four, where is there toxicity, friction, or unresolved conflict? This is the one that most people don't want to deal with because they don't know how to wrap their hands around it, or their brain around it for that matter. This question matters a lot. Friction isn't always bad, but unresolved friction becomes toxicity. It erodes trust, it erodes collaboration, and it diminishes psychological safety. And if you're going to have high-performing teams, you have got to have a high degree of psychological safety. So people can speak out, they can innovate, they can create together, they can make mistakes together. They don't have to be shamed or feel guilty because they made a mistake. It's a learning experience. What is the cost of ignoring this? And this is probably one of the areas I see ignored the most. It's not that bad. I'm sure things will work out. We'll see how things go. I hear that all the time. The reality is, it's not going away. Toxicity spreads faster than performance. It drains leaders, it demoralizes teams, and it drives quiet quitting. How can we address these negative impacts? Surface issues directly and respectfully. Bring them up. Bring them out into the open. Use structured conflict conversations. What does that mean? Use good conflict resolution skills and focus on the issue, not on the people involved. And then reset expectations for behavior and for communication. This is redirecting, it's resetting, and that's what we want to do. We can reward people in public, but redirect usually happens in private, unless there's conflict between two people. And that's when you may need a mediator. So what are the best practices going forward here? Normalize healthy disagreement. There's nothing wrong with disagreement. People run from conflict. The two things people seem to hate the most in the workplace is making a mistake and conflict. Conflict is not a bad thing. It's just something that's unresolved. So let's make it healthy. Let's say it's okay to disagree with each other. We can be disagreeing, but we don't have to be disagreeable to each other. Equip leaders with conflict resolution skills. Really equip anybody with conflict resolution skills. I have a wonderful assessment called Response to Conflict for this that actually measures your primary and secondary styles of resolving conflict. There is really good data to be had through the right assessments. Make culture a non-negotiable. Make it something that is everybody's responsibility, so we don't allow that toxicity to come in. Question number 5, who is struggling silently and why? High performers don't always raise their hand when they're overwhelmed or when something is going on in their lives. Capacity issues often hide behind competence. So they're very competent, but it could be that their capacity is being diminished and they're suffering. The stats on the number of people that are struggling and suffering in the workplace today are staggering. They're 50, 60, 70%, depending on which survey or research you look at. What's the cost of ignoring this? Burnout leads to mistakes, disengagement, and attrition, often from the very people you can least afford to lose. How can we address these negative impacts? Check workload and emotional load, not just output. I'm going to do an entire podcast on this in the future, talking about emotional load, because it is becoming one of the critical factors in people's lives and their ability to be productive and to succeed, to achieve the things they want to achieve. Do not take that lightly, please, because you can look around and I can tell you right now, a minimum of 3 out of 5 people will be carrying a heavy emotional load. It's a tough world out there. So we need to pay attention to that. We need to create space for honest conversations. We need to adjust priorities, not just expectations. What can we put in place to be best practice going forward? Regular one-on-one check-ins, that's a big one. Clear priorities and realistic timelines. Leaders that model healthy boundaries. Boundaries are so very important. Boundaries help bring a better balance to how we operate. Question number 6. Where did leadership help or hurt performance? Why does this question matter? Leadership behavior sets the emotional tone of the organization. Clarity builds confidence. Inconsistency creates anxiety. If we ignore this, and when leaders ignore this, they avoid self-reflection, they unintentionally become part of the problem. How can we address these negative impacts? Invite upward feedback, identify patterns, not just isolated moments, invest in leadership development, not just management training. I live in this world of developing people, whether it's leadership or sales or small business owners, whatever your role is, I've lived in that world for 40 years. The reality here is there is a massive difference between developing yourself and getting some training. Training is about systems, processes, techniques. None of that is going to make any difference if you don't get transformation from the inside out. And that's what development is. It's transformation from the inside out. It probably comes through coaching, but it may also come through mentoring or other avenues of development. I never do development without a package of assessments to show somebody where they are right now so that we have a data-driven approach to their development and then bring out the best in that individual. What are the best practices going forward? Lead with clarity, consistency, and care. Develop emotional intelligence as a core leadership skill. If you're only going to develop one skill in the new year, develop emotional intelligence in yourself and in your people. It will change your world. I guarantee it. Hold leaders accountable for culture, not just results. Those are six questions to ask to help you really focus in on where you are right now, where you want to go in the new year. Now, let's look into a couple of stories that will give you an idea of how this plays out. Here's the first story, From Toxic Friction to Trust. A small leadership team was struggling with open resentment, passive-aggressive communication. Productivity was declining, but no one addressed the tension. Through facilitated conversations and clear behavioral expectations, leaders learned how to disagree constructively. Within 6 months, trust was restored and execution speed improved dramatically. What's the lesson from this story? Addressing human issues doesn't slow performance, it frees it up. Story number two, From Bottleneck to Breakthrough. In another organization, all major decisions flowed through one overextended leader. The team waited, frustration mounted. After identifying this bottleneck, authority was redistributed and leaders were coached to make decisions within clear boundaries. The result? Faster execution, stronger ownership, and renewed energy. The lesson here? Empowering people multiplies leadership capacity. The new year doesn't require a reinvention. It requires intentional refinement. When leaders reflect on the human side of business with honesty and with purpose, they create clarity, alignment, and momentum. The strongest organizations don't just plan better strategies. They build better people systems. Start the year by asking better questions, then commit to acting on the answers. That's how you turn reflection into results. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.